He said, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted in safety. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 and verse 11. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And verse 11 sums it up by saying, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3, is a prophecy about the coming Messiah, Savior, Jesus, which he fulfilled, said, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And then some words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Would you take your songbooks, please, and turn to page number 9 as we sing together, How Great Thou Art. Page number 9.
Stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. And when I think that God is not spared, daring, sentenced to die, I scarce can take it in, that on that cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. And take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Harold's granddaughter, Jana, would like to share a few things with you today.
My grandpa Harold is someone who I will remember forever, as will the many others who loved and cared for him. While death creates a real sense of loss, we know that death is powerless to erase these feelings of love. I have so many great memories of my grandpa, and I would like to share a few with you to honor him and to help us with the healing process. One of the awesome things about Harold is that he cared so much about other people's feelings and the comfort of others. To him, it was never about how he was. It was always about how you were and how everything was going for you. He was a strong man who went through so much throughout his lifetime. He worked so hard to support his family back when times were tough for most people. While they never had a lot of money, I heard my dad say they always had great meals and the children never felt deprived of anything. One thing about Grandpa was his sense of humor and how he made me and so many others laugh so often. I was usually able to make him laugh too, just by being myself and acting silly. Many times while visiting him at the care center, I would see hints of his humor when he joked around with the staff. About a month ago, while we were visiting him, he was given Howard Sherbert by mistake. As he started to eat it, I said, Grandpa, you must have been really good today. You didn't get your vanilla ice cream like you usually do. When the nurse came in to tell him, she gave him the wrong one. He picked it up and tried to hide it from her and gave her a funny look that said, you can't have this back. Then the nurse said, you better watch out. Howard might come after you. We all had a good laugh with Grandpa. Since Grandpa's stroke, as you all know, he could only say a few words, which is why it was so cool when he would say the whole prayer with us before we would eat dinner at Grandma's. Something I will never forget happened a year ago, December 7th. My dad and I were there with Grandpa to celebrate my Grandma's birthday. Grandma, my dad, and I sang happy birthday before we had cake. It was funny having Grandma join us singing happy birthday to herself. The singing was sincere, but let me tell you, we didn't go on tour that Christmas. All of a sudden, we were cutting the cake, and Grandpa started singing Happy Birthday and sang the whole song to Grandma by himself. It was the cutest thing I have ever seen. It was so amazing and touching that I had tears in my eyes. Grandpa was so happy and proud of himself, I'm very glad of the time I spent with my grandma and grandpa. There have been many happy memories and happy moments throughout the 18 years that I have spent with them. I mainly remember my grandpa after his stroke, knowing he went through a lot of hard times, pain, and suffering. We can all take comfort in knowing that he is at peace now. Harold will live on in our hearts and memories forever through the love he gave and the love he received, the people that will smile when they remember him, and the children and grandchildren that carry on his name and his memory. I will miss him and love him forever, and I know he is smiling now, remembering the last words I said to him, which were, "Grandpa, I love you. Don't forget that."
And Harold's daughter, Cindy, also has something she'd like to share.
I'd like to read something that I wrote about my dad a year and a half ago for Father's Day. The newspaper that I work for had a feature in which we invited readers to share stories about their dads. So I wrote one about Dad, and this is the tribute that I wrote that ran on June 20th, 2004. It's probably safe to say most brides want their fathers to take them down the aisle at their wedding. I know I certainly did, and God answered that prayer last fall. Looking sharp in the first tux he'd ever worn, my dad wheeled me down the aisle in his wheelchair, pushed by my nephew, when I got married in October. Considering he had suffered a debilitating stroke more than 12 and a half years earlier, followed by many complications, it wasn't something to take for granted. I know he was apprehensive because he feels self-conscious about his disabilities, including an amputated leg, but eventually he agreed that he would wheel his only daughter down the aisle. I wasn't hesitant about it at all. I was proud to have him escort me, and proud to have him meet my friends and my husband's family members. I'm proud of his perseverance and the gracious way he's handled the results of the stroke. When it happened, we were told he'd never walk again and he wouldn't be able to live at home. Thanks to a lot of prayer and the support of his family, along with his determination, he lived at home for 8.5 years. And when he did have to go to the nursing home, it was because my mom's health problems prevented her from caring for him any longer. Not only did he walk again, he took walks around town. He mowed the lawn with his one good arm, hanging his cane over the handle of the lawnmower. His disabilities didn't keep him from coming to visit me either, thanks to my mom and my brother providing transportation. He came to see me twice in the first city I lived in after college, and he's been to Manitowoc 3 times, including once after he was living at the nursing home. Even more amazing is the fact that he kept his sense of humor after all he'd been through. Communicating has been difficult because he lost the ability to say more than a small selection of words, so he used the same words along with hand gestures to try to make himself understood. It's kind of like playing charades, really, but we're able to carry on good conversations that way. It would have been far worse all these years if he hadn't been so good-natured about it. Sure, he gets frustrated sometimes because he knows what he wants to say and can't say it, but more often he laughs at our guesses that are way off base. I was just out of college when my dad had the stroke. Of course, I wish he were still strong and healthy. I suspect we'd still be cross-country skiing and maybe playing tennis, even as he approaches his 80th birthday in December. But I enjoy spending time just watching TV with him and talking, and I have the memories of all we did as I was growing up. Saturday bike rides were one of the fun things we did together, and they usually took us to the creek. I also remember playing frisbee, and for a while we had a badminton set. He took me ice skating, pulled me on my sled, even went swimming with me once in a while. We still laugh about the time he lost his dentures in the community swimming pool and we had to retrieve them from the bottom. Because my brothers were all so much older than me, and I grew up kind of like an only child, it was up to my dad to go on rides with me at carnivals and such. Fortunately for him, I don't like a lot of rides, but I did take him on the Tilt-A-Whirl, bumper boats, and probably a few others. Recently, I was looking for something else in my basement when I was surprised to come across a bunch of old 78 records that Dad and I used to play. They were old even when we played them 25 years ago or so. We'd dance around the living room to songs like Tell Me a Story and Somebody Bad Stole the Wedding Bell. Dad included me in some of his chores, too. We washed the cars together by hand in the yard, and it was always fun to ride along to the dump on Saturday morning. He had a pretty big garden, too. I helped him in the garden, and he even dug up a separate plot so I could have my very own. As I got older, our activities changed. He taught me to drive in a big church parking lot and later did a lot of my practice driving with me when I got my learner's permit. We had fun playing tennis, even though we weren't very good, and we rented cross-country skis and hit the trails at a nearby state park. Between working a lot of overtime at 3M in St. Paul, taking care of the cars and yard, and fixing things around the house, Dad didn't have a lot of free time, so I appreciate that he was willing to do all those things and more with me. As a child, I didn't understand the concept of working a long day and being tired. Not until I entered the working world myself did I truly appreciate the long hours he put in just to support us. He spent many 12-hour days and even a lot of Saturdays at work, along with a 45-minute commute each way, even when he was in his 60s. I hope he knows how much I appreciate all he's done for us, how thankful I am for the times we've shared, how much I still enjoy being with him, and how proud I am that he's my dad.
Those memories are great, and those memories are the things that you will have. You hang on to them. At this time, Sharon is coming to share some music.
Our prayers have all been answered. I finally arrived. The healing that had been delayed has now been realized. No one's in a hurry. There's no schedule to keep. We're all enjoying Jesus, just sitting at his feet. If you could see me now, I'm walking streets of gold. If you could see me now, I'm standing tall and whole. If you could see me now, you'd know I've seen his face. If you could see me now, you'd know the pain is erased. You wouldn't want me to ever leave this place. If you could only see me now, my light and temporary trials have worked out for my good. To know it brought him glory when I misunderstood. Though we've had our sorrows, they can never compare. What Jesus has in store for us, no language can ever share. If you could see me now, I'm walking streets of gold. If you could see me now, I'm standing tall and whole. If you could see me now, you'd know I've seen his face. If you could see me now, you'd know the pain is erased. You wouldn't want me to ever leave this perfect place. If you could only see me now. If you could only see me now. If you could only see me now. If you could only see me
That is so true. We sorrow today, but we don't sorrow for Harold. We know that he's in a better place. We know that he's in a perfect place with a perfect body. And he's whole and he's home. But we sorrow because we know that we'll miss him and already do. But I would like to share with you a short message on that which takes the sting out of death. And it's from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And allow me to read that portion to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 51 through 57. The Apostle Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul had been writing about the resurrection from the dead. Apparently, some Christians or people from Corinth had come to doubt the truth and the fact of the resurrection. And so Paul writes to reassure them and us that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a real event, and the resurrection from the dead that he experienced can give us victory over death. By entering death and rising again, Jesus forever took away the power of death. One day a boy was crawled up into his mother's lap. It was a hot summer day, and they were just sitting there loving each other. The son was loving his mother, and the mother was loving her little son. All of a sudden, the son tensed up, and he became afraid. And the little fella pushed closer against his mother. And she said to him, "What's the matter, son?" And the little boy said, "Oh, mama, look at that bumblebee. Look at that bumblebee buzzing around me. Mom, I'm afraid of that bumblebee." She said, "Ah, son, you don't have to be afraid of that bumblebee." "But mama, that bumblebee will sting me and it'll hurt." No, son, that bumblebee won't sting you and you don't have to be afraid." "Why don't I have to be afraid, mama?" Mama reached out her hand and she showed her little boy her hand, and in her hand she pulled out a stinger. And she said, "Son, you don't have to be afraid of that bumblebee, because that bumblebee has already stung your mama, and it can't sting you. I've got the stinger." Well, death is one of the greatest fears that mankind has. We don't like to talk about it much. Just the thought of the eternal fills the heart with fear, but it shouldn't. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then He has forever pulled the stinger out of death for you and I. So death is not something that we have to fear. Death is something that has already stung Jesus. But He conquered death, and He rose from the dead, and He lives forever. And He promises that eternal life to all of us. The truth is that death will come to all of us someday. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. But if you are saved, then death is merely the doorway into eternal life, into the eternal presence of God." The Apostle Paul also said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given us unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And you know, that was with the case with Harold. For a long time, he was ready. He wanted to go home. He wanted to go in the presence of the Lord. One day, as I happened to visit with him, was the day that his last roommate had passed away. In fact, it was just shortly after, because the body was still in the room. And as I entered, Harold took my hand and he wheeled and we walked over and we looked. And I asked him if the nurses knew, and he said, yes. You know, and he said, all done now. And I kind of got the feeling that Harold was just waiting for his time, because he knew that he would be going to a better place. And he was looking forward to this life being over so that he could gain eternal life and so that he could be in that perfect place in heaven. And his body would be healed. And he'd have no more pain and no more sickness and no more sorrow. Harold was a very tender man. Another time, as I went to see him, I think the Lord just had me go at that time, because that was when Dorothy had entered into the hospital in Baldwin this last time. And he was concerned for Dorothy. That was his concern. He was a very tender man, a very gracious man. And for that, he reminded me of Jesus, because Jesus stamped his image in Harold's heart. And I want you to know today that you can come to that place where he was, that you don't have to fear death, because Jesus Christ has conquered it. He has pulled out the stinger. He has given his children victory over death. And I thank God today for that victory. I thank God today that we sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. I thank God today that we can be assured that Harold is in the presence of the God that he served. And in John chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus is described for us as the great shepherd, but he was great because he was willing to offer his life for his sheep. And in fact, he did that. He laid down his life for his sheep. We know that Harold's favorite psalm was Psalm 23, the Song of the Shepherd. And when this song or psalm begins, David is writing in the first person. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He uses that personal pronoun, my. He's talking about his relationship with the shepherd. He did not say the Lord is a shepherd. He did not say the Lord is our shepherd. He did not say the Lord is your shepherd. He said the Lord is my shepherd. David tells us that he has a personal relationship with the shepherd. I know this shepherd. He's mine. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that today? I hope that you can. You need to be able to do that today. You need to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, I was talking with Jim last night at the visitation, and we were talking about how hard it was for Harold to finish a sentence, you know, and to communicate his thought. Jim was reminding me of how Harold could quote the 23rd Psalm. Even though he couldn't finish a lot of things that he wanted to say, he could finish that psalm because the Lord was his shepherd. There was a personal relationship there. God's word was alive. God's word was real to him. The psalmist went on to say, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. The good shepherd gives his sheep something that no earthly shepherd could give. He can give his sheep life. He can restore the soul. In fact, the phrase "restoreth my soul" literally means to bring back. The Good Shepherd brings back the wayward soul from death and gives it life. And if you are here today and you know Jesus Christ, you know that shepherd in a personal way, then you have eternal life right now. If you do not know him, the Bible says that you are dead in trespasses and sins. You need to be made alive through the life of the Great Shepherd. He leads in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then he went on to say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In his power, he provides peace. Peace to overcome fear, even the fear of evil and the fear of death. Even though the sheep must at times pass through the most frightening and dangerous of places, they can travel in peace knowing that their shepherd has everything under control. That same confidence can dwell in the hearts of each of God's sheep today. Yes, the path sometimes is dangerous. Sometimes it's very difficult. And I know, that family, especially today, you are experiencing a difficult thing in your life. Probably there is nothing more difficult than the loss of a loved one. But I want you to know that the Good Shepherd is with you today. And he's walking you, and he's going to be with you all the way through this valley. There are occurrences and events in life that are frightening to our hearts. But if we know that the Good Shepherd is leading us, if we know that he is in control of the paths of our life, then we can pass through the shadows in peace and security. The sting of death is taken out because of his peace. And by the way, do you know that a shadow cannot harm you? What can the shadow of an angry dog do? It can't bite. What can the shadow of a serpent, a snake, do? He cannot sting you. He cannot strike. So if you are walking with Jesus, you don't have to fear the shadow of death. Death does not have to hurt you. And you know what the Bible talks about, our relationship, walking with the Lord as walking in light. And the light dispels any shadow. You have the promise of his peace today. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you." And then the psalmist said, "For thou art with me." Jesus takes the sting out of death because of his presence. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. This Bible passage is simply telling us that death is a homecoming. It's a chance to be with Jesus. And then the psalmist went on, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." His presence is one of great comfort. He is able to take the sting out of death, because he is also our comforter. And then before Jesus left this world in his earthly body, he promised that he would send another comforter, the Holy Spirit, who would be with his people forever. No matter where we go, no matter where life takes us, we cannot escape the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is there with us always. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 19, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." That is the great comfort that we have today, that because Jesus Christ lives, we shall live also. The psalmist went on, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." two quick thoughts about that verse. First of all, he promises help for today. The pilgrim is assured that goodness and mercy will be his constant companions all along the way, all the way home. Those components of grace, they remind us that as we travel through life, the Lord will be there. His grace will be sufficient to meet every need that we have. We need to know that there is nothing that we will come across in life that is not greater than his ability to help us and to see us through. Even this that you are experiencing today, even the death of husband and father and grandfather, and whatever your relation to Harold might be here today, even as difficult as that is, it is not too difficult for God's grace to see you through it. If we are following the one who plans and knows the way, we can certainly make it too. He goes along with us to make sure of a safe passage through this harsh and sometimes even violent land that we live. The point of the whole psalm is that with him being so near, there is nothing to fear. And so he promises help for you today. Today, tomorrow, Dorothy, next week, next month. How many years there are before the Lord returns or before we go home to be with him. He promises his help. But he also promises his hope for tomorrow. Help for today, but hope for tomorrow. David concludes the psalm with a precious reminder that this life down here will end someday. But those who know the Lord will move to a new realm to live for eternity. I was thinking about how Harold liked football. And I was picturing today that he's sitting in the end zone. He's finished this life. This life is over. But eternity for him is just beginning. This life is over. But an eternal life in the presence of Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior, is just beginning. And I happen to think that those who have passed through this life are able to look back on the game of life and see how we are doing. And Harold will be up there cheering you on and encouraging you because he wants to someday be reunited with you in glory. David is looking for that time. He's looking forward to a time when he would be in the presence of the Lord in heaven. And that is the destiny of every child of God today. Would you take your songbooks, please? We would like to sing together, What a Day That Will Be. Harold's day is here. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I trust that you do, and if you don't, you can know him today simply by inviting the Good Shepherd into your heart, saying, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Lead me. I give you my life. And you know what? He'll come in. He'll take your sins away. He'll give you eternal life. And then this great destiny that we are talking about can be yours. Josh, come and lead us. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see.
Turn to page 367 in your hymnals.
There's coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen. That glorious day for Harold is here. Today is his coronation day. And I just encourage you today to think about that and let that bring comfort and hope to your heart. But also, as I pray a prayer of benediction, if you've not invited Jesus Christ into your heart to be your good shepherd, why don't you do that? You can just do it right where you're at, just right where you're sitting, quietly in your heart. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my good shepherd. Come and be my Savior. And I know that that would make Harold very happy today, happier than anything else. Father, we do thank you for these precious promises that we have. Lord, that you have promised us help for today. Lord, help us. Help Harold's family. Give them the grace sufficient for their every need. May you remind them of your mercy. May they feel your comfort. May they realize your presence, not just now, but Lord, in those days ahead when they will need it even more so. Lord, I pray that you would show your power to them. And I pray, Lord, that you would lead them along the passage of life that you have chosen for them. Lord, that they would be so aware of your leading and your closeness that they would fear nothing. We also, Lord, thank you for the promise of hope for tomorrow. Someday we will all go to spend eternity somewhere. And those that have received you as their Savior go to that place that you have prepared for them. Lord, we look forward to that day. Lord, we can't even imagine the plans that you have for those who love you. They will be beyond our wildest dreams. We thank you for those promises and those hopes. Bless each one that has come here today. May your grace be with them, and may your peace be evident to all. In Jesus' name, amen. We would like you to share a time of fellowship. The family invites you to come downstairs immediately, and there's some food that has been prepared down there for you. And then following the time downstairs, we will be going to the Baldwin Seminary or Cemetery for a time of committal. And we have one final song. Sharon will be ministering this song to your hearts. God bless you.
You who dwell in the shelter of the Lord, who abide in his shadow for life, say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock, in whom I trust, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings. Bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. The snare of the fowler will never capture you, and famine will bring you no fear. Under his wings, your refuge, his faithfulness, your shield. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. You need not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Though thousands fall about you, near you, it shall not come. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. For to his angels he's given a command to guard you in all of your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand.